Ner Hanukkah. So, we don't have Shir next week. Hanukkah is more chashuv than Thanksgiving. And then the next Thursday we have Shir, but I think the Hanukkah will be over. So we have one shot to do a Hanukkah topic. Or maybe not Friday, that'll still be Hanukkah, right? If there's another chance, we'll do a second Hanukkah topic. That's the same day as the last day of Hanukkah. Okay, so we'll have to see if that Shir will be a Hanukkah Shir. Maybe we won't. But this week, for sure, we have an opportunity to have a Hanukkah Shir. And I want to discuss something which I think is perhaps the central halachic topic. There are numerous, countless topics that you could discuss on Hanukkah. This, to me, is the most central one. And I hope to explain to you why. So the Gemara very famously says, you're all familiar with the Gemara, in Shabbos, Daf Kaf Aleph, Tana Rabbanan, there's three levels, a tripartite. For those of you still playing in college, that's a fancy word. Tripartite level of mitzvah stratification. The Gemara gives us three levels. Number one, the basic mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beso, one candle per day, per house, no matter what day, no matter how many people in the house. Bahamahadrin, the second level, Ner L'Kol Echad Be'Echad, everyone lights their own Chanukiah, as we call it in Israel, but still only one candle per day. Bahamahadrin, Minamahadrin, the third level, says the Gemara, that's a machlokas. Hey Shammai Omrim, Yom Rishon, Madlik Shmona, Mikam Be'Elech Pos Baholet. We start off with eight, we go down. Beis Hillel Omrim, Yom Rishon, Madlik Chad, Mikam Be'Elech Mosi Baholet. We start off with one, and we go up. Gemara presents two possible rationales for the machlokas. Is it, are they arguing about whether we go up in Kiddusha or down? Are they arguing about whether we go based on the Yamim HaNechnasin, Yamim HaYotzin, Pariyachag? It's interesting, there's Torah on those svaras, but for our purposes this year, it's not important. What's important for us is that we hold, obviously, like Beis Hillel, not only because we always hold like Beis Hillel, but because you've been lighting candles your whole life, and you know that we light one candle on the first day, I think you're watching 1 second. And, generally speaking, there are two reasons that are given for Beis Hillel. Either we're going Keneged Hayamim HaNechnasin, each day is another day, so we had it, or is it because of Ma'alin B'Kodesh and Meridin? But generally speaking, we never like to go down in Kedusha, right? You know, like the first day of the Zman, we can learn 10 hours, the second day of the Zman, we can learn 9 hours, that's not so good. We like to build up to things, not to go down. And we paskin, of course, like Beis Hillel. Yes, question.
Is this one kind of like one each person in the house lights 1 through 8?
That's gonna be the next question. That's the next discussion in Machlokas Rishonim. Yeah.
Oh, what's the reason for Beis Shammai? Do we say?
Yeah, Beis Shammai gives a yin. If you take a look at the Gemara says either they're arguing about whether we go Keneged Hayamim HaNechnasin, how many days are coming in. Is it the first day, the second day, or how many days still going out? Is it that's one possibility, or the second time the Gemara says is it Keneged Pari HaChag because how many carbonos they used to bring. Okay, but that's Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the two reasons we mentioned. So the question was raised, and it's Machlokas Rishonim, and I'll rephrase your question, but I think this is what you're asking, which is, what is the relationship between level 2 and level 3? It's clear that level 2 and level 3 build on level 1. The question is, what is the relationship between level 2 and level 3? And here we have two very obvious possibilities. Number one is that level 3 builds on level 2. It incorporates level 2. We're still going to do level 2, everyone's going to light their own Hanukkiah, but now we're going to add a candle per night. Who says that? The Rambam, we'll see that in a moment. But another possibility, which is a little more surprising, and it's unfamiliar to us because it does not correspond to what we know from our practice, but theoretically there's another possibility, which is that level 3 replaces level 2. It's clear from the Gemara, Mahadim Rahadim is there the best, and it could be that, from some halachic standard, adding a candle per night, even if there's only one menorah, maybe better than everyone lighting one candle. Maybe level 3 is instead of, it replaces level 2. In fact, that's the machlokas. Take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says that level 3 replaces level 2. Nir L'Ri, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, i.e. level 3, Lo Kaimi Ela, Aner Yishu Beiso, meaning it goes back to level 1. It builds on level 1. Now there's still only one person lighting, but now the one menorah, says Tosfos, the one menorah adds a candle every day according to Beis Hillel. Okay, the one menorah, says Tosfos, adds a candle every day. Why? After all, again, that's surprising to any of us who are used to everyone in the family lighting, but that's not Tosfos Shita. Tosfos Shita says one menorah, just adding candles. Why? Shekein Yoser Hidur. How could that be more Hidur, less candles? No, he says, the Ikkei Hidur, Hashem Asa V'Holah. Tosfos apparently understands that it's that first reason for Beis Hillel, which is most important. Namely, that we're supposed to look at the menorah and know how many nights of Hanukkah it's been. So if four people light on day seven, that would be 28 candles. If I was walking by the house and I'd be saying, what night is tonight's night? And I look into the bay window of their house and I'm like, 28 days? I mean, it's a long holiday, but 28 days? I would have no idea, says Tosfos. So Tosfos, part of the kunst of Mahadran and Mahadran is I should be able to look at the menorah and know what day it is. That heker, that recognition, is the... So that says, Tosfos, you have to replace level two and just go with Keneged HaYomim. That's Mahadran and Mahadran. That is Shita of Tosfos. The Rambam has the Shita which we're more familiar with. The Rambam says, when he counts this, when he describes the halacha, Kamenerus u'mavik b'chanaka, says, well, the basic mitzvah is one, and Mahadran is that everyone should light, and then he says, where I have it underlined, Mahadr Yoser al-Zed, the third level, Osam in the mitzvah mukhari, it clearly makes no doubt about it, this is considered the best option, Madlik ner l'kol echad b'echad, so he's clearly incorporating level two, everyone lights their own menorah, B'layla harishon mosif b'holech b'choyom b'layla l'ad, and you add a candle per day. So, menorah for every person in the house, and adding a candle, that's Rambam. Tosfos says, no, level 3 is instead of level 2. We go back to having one menorah, but now we add a candle. There's a lot of Torah on this machlokas, Rambam and Tosfos. Like I said, a lot of Torah on Chanukah in general. I don't want to focus on that either. What I want to focus on is the ha'ara, the number of achronim make, that there's hinting machlokas in the Rambam and the Ramah. Namely, let's look at Shulchan Aruch. So how do we pass it? So we pass in like Beis Hillel, that's like I said, a no-brainer. But this machlokas of Rambam and Tosfos, namely, do we count, does everyone light, not light, what's going on with that, level 2, level 3, what's the relationship? This is actually machlokas, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Shulchan Aruch says, and basically, there's a little subtle, there are some variations, but by and large, Minhag Sfarad, says that Mechaber, Afilu im Rabim b'nei habayis, lo yad liko yoter. That even though the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, excuse me, quotes that there's Mahadran and Mahadran, but that's only for one menorah. Even Rabban min Abayis, there's not how many people in the house, one menorah on the first night. One candle, two candles, three candles, four candles. Okay? That's the Shulchan Aruch. What's the Shulchan Aruch asking like? It comes along the Rambam, V'yesh Omrim, the Kol Echad b'nei Habayis Yadlik. And then he adds, for good measure, V'chein ha'minag poshut, which we can all subscribe to, because in our communities it is the minhag pashut. This is what has been the widely accepted minhag in Ashkenazi communities. Everyone lights on their own. Who's the Ramah passing light? Not so fast. One thing we know is that the Shulchan Aruch passing light Tosfos. One thing we know is that the Ramah is not passing light Tosfos. At first glance, it appears that the Ramah, is passing light the Ramah. In fact, there were some achronim who pointed out this is a unique phenomenon. The Rambam and Tosfos argue all the time. Shulchan Aruch and Ramah argue all the time. But in 99% of the other times, the Shulchan Aruch follows who? The Rambam, Minhag Sfarad, and the Ramah, Ashkenaz, follows the Ashkenazic Rishonim, Tosfos. Here it seems like we have a switcheroo. That's interesting in its own right. However, there were some achronim. I believe the first one was a sefer called the Tshuva sefer called the Galia Maseches, who was the Rav of Nevardik, before it became associated with the world of Musar, the Rav of Nevardik, Aruch HaShulchan, you know, Aruch HaShulchan, was also the Rav of Nevardik. I'm not if he had any connection to Musar, so he didn't necessarily roll around in the snow or do other things that Nevardik Musar is associated with, but that was the Aruch HaShulchan's town as well. So the Galia Maseches and others since him have pointed out that it seems like it's not so simple. Because if you're medayik closely in the Rambam, and you're medayik closely in Tosfos in the Ramah, they seem to have a little bit of a difference. Go back to the Rambam. Look at the Rambam Lashon. The Rambam says, Kama Neiros Hu Madlik. He lights, and the mitzvah is, basic mitzvah is one candle. Bahama Hader, he lights, Kiminyan Anshe Habayis. Ner, Kalechav Echad. Bein Anoshim, Bein Noshim. Bahama Hader Yosir Alzer, Madlik ner l'kol echad b'echad. Think about it for a moment. What does the Rambam seem to be describing?
That one person can do it for
exactly. Everyone. The father, one person lights. It's just that in Mahadran and Mahadran, you have multiple menorahs and adding a candle for each menorah. So the father really gets a workout, right? Let's say there's four people in the house, so he's going to light four menorahs, and on the second night, eight candles. On the third night, etc., etc. But it's one person lighting. And in fact, I know families, certain Sephardic families, where that is the minhag. Comes along the Ramah, and clearly says what we're all familiar with from our own homes, everyone lights their own menorah. And in fact, the Bali Masechet and others after have pointed out that the Ramah seems to be the Lo Kamar, or the Lo Kamar. We know the Ramah is not like Tosfos. But the Ramah also seems to be not like the Ramah. So Shailen had to understand this machlokas, if you could call it that, a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramah. Why would you feel, for example, let's put the onus on the Rambam, that you're going to have a menorah for everyone, but yet only the father should light? The Ramah seems to make more sense. I mean, we're biased, that's what we're used to. What's the story? So there's a number of possibilities for understanding that machlokas. In fact, I didn't put it on the sheet, but there's a very famous essay of the Brisker Rav, the Griz al Harambam, and his Sefer on the Rambam. The Griz discusses this machlokas. And the Griz says that this is connected to a broader machlokas of Mahadrin, of Hiddur Mitzvah, in general in Halacha, in Kol Torah Kula. We have a Pasuk Zekili V'Advehu, from Az Yashir. Gemara says it's not a fun of a mitzvos. That's the makor of Mahadrin of Hiddur Mitzvah. Many mitzvos of the Hiddur Mitzvah. And the Griz has an essay on Hilchos Chanukah where he's working off of a tshuva of his grandfather. Who is the Griz's grandfather? The Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi, Reb Chaim is in the middle, the Griz's father. So the Beis HaLevi has a tshuva where he discusses the machlokas between the Rambam on the one hand, and you guessed it, the Ramah, also the tour, but for our purposes it's important, it's also the Ramah, and Hilchos Bris Milah, about Hiddur Mitzvah. And the upshot of the tour, and excuse me, the upshot of this Beis HaLevi Machlokes, of his explanation is that the Machlokes is the following. Listen carefully, this is important. That the arguing is, could you have a phenomenon, a concept of Hiddur Mitzvah that's separated from the basic mitzvah? As do you look at Hiddur Mitzvah as something that's significant in its own right, even though yes, it's true, it's coming on top of the hip of the basic mitzvah, but is it independent in its own right that in theory, you know, you can eat it on its own? You know, a cherry on top, you could eat, you could like a cherry and eat it by itself, or you could put the cherry on top of the cake. So says the Beis HaLevi, that's the machlokas. The Rambam always holds that Hiddur Mitzvah is only meaningful if it's Mahader the Mitzvah. You can only have Hiddur Mitzvah not flying in the loft, flying in the air somewhere. The Hiddur Mitzvah has to be connected to the basic mitzvah. I'm not going to get into now how that translates to Chos Milah. That's not important for us. But, says the Beis HaLevi, the Ramah argues. The Ramah holds that within certain parameters, there are limits, but within certain limits, the Ramah has a much more expansive view. The Ramah allows for the possibility of Hiddur Mitzvah, even if it's not so tightly connected to the Ikar Mitzvah. That's the Beis HaLevi's explanation over there in Hilchos Milah. So comes along the Brisker Rav, he says the Rambam and the Ramah are both beautifully l'shitasam. They're consistent. The Rambam holds l'shitasam that the Hiddur Mitzvah has to be connected, conjoined with the Ikar Mitzvah. And therefore, fill in the blank. How does that explain the Rambam Shita here?
He was lighting, has to light more than me.
So the same person who lit the Ikar Mitzvah, Ner Yishu Beso, everyone is Yotze. The second the father lights his first candle, the whole family was Yotze. But if he, as part of his continuing expanded Maisa Mitzvah, continues and lights the 10 other candles, so you have the Hiddur Mitzvah, all the other candles, it's still connected, same person, same action, to the Ikar Mitzvah. Follow? Says the Brisker Rav, that's Shitas Rambam, Lishitasa. However, the Ramah is also Lishitasa. The Ramah holds you don't have to have them so connected, so tightly bound one to the other. And therefore, yes, it's true that we're Yotzei with the Father. And nevertheless, there could be significance, there could be meaning, halachically, I'm not even talking philosophically or shabbatically, halachically, it's still significant to have all the B'nai Beso, all the family members, light their own menorahs and add candles. even if it's separate. It doesn't matter. Because within limits, you can have hinder mitzvah even when it's separated from the ikar mitzvah. Just like the Ramah said in the Chas Mila, Kuadinami Shitaso, says the Brisker Rav. Now, all of this, why is it not on your sheet? Because all of this is still an introduction to the main course. But I want to make sure you understand what we've said until now, and then we'll pivot to the rest of the sources and give you a chiddush against the Brisker Rav. What's the hanacha? Give me 1 second. I'm glad we're friends again. Give me 1 second. What's the hanacha? Again, this is key. In your honor, I say all the time, Lumdus is another way of saying we all be Sherlock Holmes. All be detectives. We're all looking for that in between the lines and underneath the surface. What's the hanacha of the Brisker Rav? What's his assumption? It's nice. Again, once you make his assumption, then almost like dominoes, it fits beautifully. It's a beautiful piece of the Brisker Rav. Brisker Torah at its finest. But he had to make an assumption, which then leads to the dominoes. His assumption is that what the Rishonim are arguing about in Kol Torah Kula, Hiddur Mitzvah, is irrelevant to Mahadrin and Ner Chanukah. It's all one big din. It's Hiddur Mitzvah. Once that you make that assumption, that's a huge assumption. So then, beautifully, the Rambam says this, and it works out consistently, and the Rambam says that, and it works out consistently. Now, to support the Brisker Rav in that assumption, I'll just point out, in number 2, you see Rabbeinu Chananel. Like hundreds and hundreds of years before the Brisker Rav, there was Rabbeinu Chananel. And Rabbeinu Chananel just has a brief comment. The Rabbeinu Chananel is in two places. It's in the Gemara Shabbos, which I put on your sheet. It's also in the Gemara and Baba Kama. Baba Kama is a classic source about Hiddur Mitzvah. And in both places, the Rabbeinu Chananel cites the other Gemara. Meaning, as you see on your sheet, here, even though the Gemara Shabbos doesn't talk about anything relating to what the Gemara Baba Kama talks about, but the Rabbeinu Chananel connects it himself. He quotes the Gemara Mahadrin this, Mahadrin that. Pirish, HaMahadrin, what does that mean? What does the word Mahadrin here mean? Mahadrin mitzvos. Those who beautify mitzvos can read in Baba Kama, as we know from Baba Kama about Hiddur Mitzvah and a certain rule about the Hiddur Mitzvah, which I'll get to in a minute. But Rabbeinu Chananel, he connects the Gemara Shabbos to Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama doesn't say anything about Chanukah. The Gemara Baba Kama is talking about Hiddur Mitzvah in general. Okay, you see from Rabbeinu Chananel, the same assumption, the same hanacha, as the Brisker Rav made famous many years later, and that is that in fact they are connected. Hiddur Mitzvah, Mahadrin, it sounds like it's the same word. It's the same halakha category. Therefore, we can assume one from the other. What I want to suggest for the remainder of this year is that we can question, or at least for some poskim, I'm not saying everyone would agree with this, but that there's a major, major body of thought, if not the dominant, but close to it, a major body of thought of literature in the Sharm Nachronim, they're going to disagree with that basic point. They're going to suggest, and I'm going to show you, and hopefully not prove, but demonstrate to you, maybe a better word, that the Hiddur Mitzvah of Chanukah is totally disconnected. It's not the same thing as Hiddur Mitzvah called Tarfula. It is sui generis. It's totally unique, freestanding, and independent. Now, I'm not saying that they're like, the Hatfields and the McCoys. I mean, they might be cousins, sleep in the same mishpacha, they saw each other at a wedding, they recognize each other. But they're not the same din. Yes?
According to the Gris, how do you understand that? Why is it an Ashmi the Bracha?
It's a good question. I don't remember that he discusses it himself. Rabbi Kiveger himself discusses it. We have two sources on the sheet from Rabbi Kiveger. Not answering your question, but it's in that same tshuva that I have on the sheet. There's a different answer to the question. The simplest answer is Rabbi Kiveger's. He says that since everyone knows they're going to light, they have in mind not to be associated with the Father.
But they're not.
Even then, they're going to do a hitter.
No,
he holds that they are, because by not being yotze with their father, when they light their first candle, they're yotze the ikar mitzvah. That's Rabbi Kiveger's assumption.
That wasn't said in Machlokes. The whole assumption was in Machlokes and Gris is that the father's been yotze, and then according to Rabbi.
In other words, I want to say as follows: we're going to have the Sfas Emes, so we're going to see hopefully in a few minutes he's going to disagree with what I just told you. But that's part of a whole other mahalach. But in the mahalach we're seeing until now, assuming it's all connected, so then l'chorah should be a problem. If the father did the real mitzvah, how can I make a bracha? The Eger says, because people have in mind. Same thing, it's not to say it's not a hit or miss, but a similar question says, how come everyone makes their own bracha for Sfiras Omer and Shul if they just said Amen to the Chazan? How come every Hallel we all say Amen to the Chazan and then make our own bracha? It's not a bracha levatala. So the post can say, yeah, Mistama, even though it's a little bit subconscious because most of us aren't aware of it, but Mistama, since everyone knows even before the Chazan made the bracha that they're going to make their own bracha, have in mind not to be Yotzei. And say Amen. Maybe there's some kind of a key in mitzvah in that Amen, but not to be Yotzei. So that's what the Rebbe Eger says that here also. Okay? Now, as a way of cluing you in to the possibility, well, let me before that, before I clue you into the fact that there are at least one Rishon, at least, who disagrees with what we've seen until now, I want to point out three things to you. Because if we accept the assumption until now that this is the same hitter mitzvah in every other area of halacha, you can ask at least three questions. Number one, there's no other, as I mentioned at the opening of the shiur, there's no other area in halacha where there is a hitter and then a hitter of the hitter. The concept of mahadrin min mahadrin is completely unique to Chanukah. Number one. Hara number two. Hitter mitzvah generally is subjective. Hitter is beauty. Beauty is subjective. Right? So if you have beautiful candlesticks and a beautiful esrog, it's not... there's no diagram for how to decide that. There are certain basic parameters in some cases, not even when it comes to candlesticks, there's no parameters. But, you know, a lot of it is to some extent subjective. This is one of, if not the most objective formula to have such a regimented, formulated type of hitter is itself surprising. And number three, perhaps the biggest point, and it's ironic given that the Rabbeinu Hananel cited this Gemara to make the opposite point. Rabbi Chananel cited a Gemara in Baba Kama that says, maybe if you're familiar with this halacha, hiner mitzvah ad shlish. Two esrogs. One is kosher, one is more mehudar, but it's much more expensive because the seller also knows it's more mehudar. How much money am I obligated to spend above and beyond the basic cost to fulfill a mitzvah in a more mehudar way? So the Gemara says, Baba Kama, hiner mitzvah ad shlish, which is another way of saying that when you add up the sum total, you don't have to pay more than a quarter above what you would have paid for the basic mitzvah. So let's think about that when it comes to Hanukkah. How many candles do you have to buy if you fulfill Neri Shu Beso? How many candles have to buy? Eight. Let's assume you're a single guy living on your own. Eight candles. And if you fulfill Mahadrin Min Mahadrin, how many candles do you have to buy? Who's good at math?
36.
One per person.
No, 36. You're single. 36, is that the number? I'm not good at math. But one thing we know, on the eighth day alone you have to buy eight. Right? So eight, going back to one, is 36. That's a lot more than shlish. Shlish would have been a few candles more than eight. This is 36. This breaks the rules. So we have at least three examples. Two are more dramatic, but I think really it's, I would call them three different examples where Mahadrin and Hiddur Mitzvah Chanukah is different. So, and everything I just told you is indisputable. That's not Lomdus, the Beskarov. That's everyone's going to read the things I just said. So now the question is, what do we do with that information? One possibility is to say, listen, the etzem, at its essence, Hiddur Mitzvah Chanukah is the same as Hiddur Mitzvah Kol Torah Kula. There are unique characteristics. You do. Everybody's different, you know, for this reason or for that reason, and I can give you Torahs why Hanukkah has some unique things, but we get to effort them away. We can add, there are exceptions, but they don't change the basic identity. The alternative is what I want to explore with you, which is the possibility that these exceptions are indications. By seeing these exceptions, they give us clues. Maybe this is not something that we thought it is. The fact that it has these three noticeable differences may clue us into the fact that this is not the same hitter that's put as Kaltura Kula, but in fact a unique hitter. And I want to put, if you will, more meat on the bone, not Thanksgiving. And I want to give you a more specific definition. What do I mean by that? In what way would hitter bits of Hanukkah be unique? And this is the theory I want to throw out to you, and then we'll hopefully test it for the remainder of this year. And that is that hitter mitzvah in Kol HaTorah, in Baba Kama, and in Bris Milah, and all those other places, hitter mitzvah is something that is, in addition to, but separate from the etzem mitzvah. You have the mitzvah. To use the metaphor I started with, I mentioned to you the cake. So it's wonderful. It's the icing. It's the cherry. It's whatever you want to call it. But it isn't the cake. Excuse me for one second. Hello? I'm not going to tell you what he was asking me about, but let's just say it wasn't worth interrupting the show for. He's Pat and he'll learn. That's the regular hitter mitzvah. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Cake without icing is not as good as a cake without icing. It makes it better. It's wonderful. But it's not the mitzvah itself. Perhaps Chanukah is different. Perhaps the hitter mitzvah on Chanukah is not in addition to, locked onto the mitzvah. Hitter mitzvah of Chanukah integrates into, becomes a part of, and transforms the mitzvah itself. I found, I didn't find it, someone else found it before me, but we found one Rishon, as far as I know, who seems to be almost explicit in this. It's a relatively obscure Rishon, the Ravan. Any of you ever heard of Ravan? Ever learned the Ravan? I'm not sure who he was, honestly. He might be, I'm not really sure. I didn't do enough homework myself. If I hadn't been in Rosenzweig, I never would have seen Ravan in my life. Rosenzweig likes to sometimes do Ravan. You could spend 20 years in many other yeshivas and never have heard of the Ravan. One of the more obscure Rishonim, we'll do a little mitzvah and we'll mention him today. I don't know who he is, but at least we'll mention him. Says the Ravan, take a look. He's discussing an issue which is not our topic at all, which is the Nusach of the Bracha. Why do we say Lahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah and not Al Hadlokas Ner Chanukah or something like that? So again, I don't want to get caught up into the details of the Nusach of the Bracha. What's important to me is what he thinks the reason for it is. Why Lahadlik? Lefisha B'chol HaLemos Levad Melayla Harisha. From all the other nights besides the first night, Yesh Bo Nevos Lahadlik. There are many more extra candles to light. Look at this. What a formulation. V'lo nigmara ha-mitzvah ad shemadli kol ha-nevos. You have not fulfilled or completed the mitzvah, let's for example say on day 4, until you've lit all 4 candles. And then he explains that that's more implied, that phenomenon is more implied, multiple candles, by the nusach of lahadlik as opposed to al-hadlakas. Not our concern. But the part that he says, which I underline, which is clearly our concern, is an amazing statement. Says the Ravon, you are not fulfilling your mitzvah until you light all the candles. What's going on? How can you say such a thing? What do you mean you're not fulfilling your mitzvah? Neri shubeso, one candle. Anything beyond that's hitter mitzvah. But I fulfilled the mitzvah. The mitzvah was the first candle. So, it's partial to me that if you only lit one candle and then you went over to the Ravon himself, once you find out who he was and where he lived, and you ask him, are we Yotzei? The Ravon would say, of course we're Yotzei. It's a Gemara. Neri shubeso. And yet the Ravon can say, but when you lit 4, lo nigmara ha-mitzvah, until you lit all the candles. Because what pshat? Pshat is what I mentioned. Because once you're doing the hidden mitzvah, that integrates into the mitzvah itself. And for you, the mitzvah has been transformed into a mitzvah of lighting 4 candles. Not an ikar mitzvah and hidder, but a mitzvah which is mehuda. You beautified the mitzvah, not added a hidder onto the mitzvah. The mitzvah itself has become the Huda. Yeah.
If you don't start the mitzvah, that's okay.
I'm not saying you have to finish it. But the point is, if you finish it, if you stop in the middle, it's not an Aveira, according to Ravon. He's describing what you've accomplished. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah. He doesn't mean the Ikra mitzvah. Obviously, if you stop, you still fulfill the Ikra mitzvah. But the mitzvah in its most Mehudar, in its Shleimusa, you haven't fulfilled until you finish. Which is still an amazing statement. Because the mitzvah is the mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah is hiddur mitzvah. But he is saying more than that. He's saying that you have not fulfilled the mitzvah, not just the, in its most shameless way. Not that you haven't fulfilled hiddur mitzvah. You have fulfilled the mitzvah in its most better, beautiful way. According to everyone, it's the actual mitzvah. That's it. It's the end of the Gemara. No, you are. I said the basic mitzvah. Of course, you're Yotzei. I'm not saying I don't think he would disagree with that. How could he disagree with that? It's a Gemara. But what he's willing to say, it's an extreme formulation, that when you're lighting 3 candles, That is not the mitzvah and then hit her. All of that is the mitzvah. That's a chiddush. It's a chiddush I don't think the Grizz would agree with. So let's show you, we have how much time left? A few more minutes. I'll show you a few nafkaminas, 3, 4, 5 nafkaminas if we have time, where this issue comes up, and at least in some cases, I should say, each one of the cases, at least some Rishonim Achronim are completely unintelligible unless we understand this new idea. So for example, number 3. Both the Pri Chadosh and Rabbi Akiva Eger, I didn't put it on the sheet, but it's also very famous from a Pri Megadim, discuss the following related cases. The Pri Chadosh discusses the case, Nesha'alti al Mishaya Omei Bilal Zayin, Hayla Halik Zayin, V'kusabar V'shehel Lavav HaLikvav. He made a mistake on which day it is. So therefore he lit the wrong number of candles. Then he remembered. So let's say he can add a candle. In fact, the Shiloh, they asked the Pri Chadosh, would I make another bracha when I added the 7th candle? I lit 6. In the middle of playing dreidel, and all of a sudden I go, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. It's not the 6th day, it's the 7th day. Should I make a bracha or not? So says the Pri Chadosh, of course not. Why not? Kaver the mitzvah chanukah neri shubezo, the inner of all the other candles, the madlik mishum hidur, or as the Pri Megadim says, even though he actually has different stuff, but makes the point explicitly, we don't make bracha in the mitzvah. What do we say in the bracha? We're not mitzvah to do hiddur mitzvah. It's extra, it's bonus points. We only make a bracha vitzivanu on the ikur mitzvah. So if I'm lighting the 7th candle after I already lit 6, that's only hiddur mitzvah. How can you make a bracha? That's the psak of the Pri Chadosh. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger disagrees. And the El Yarabah disagrees. Rav Eger says, in a different case, which is, you know how many candles, you set up a right number of candles, you just were so excited about, presents, you forgot to make the bracha. You're in the middle of lighting, you go, oh my gosh, I forgot to make the bracha. So, I already lit one, I didn't light all the candles, there's still a few more candles to light. But I already lit the first candle. Is it too late to make a bracha or not? It's not the same as the Pri Chadosh, but it's obviously a related question. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says you can make the bracha. Rabbi Akiva Eger in the end gives 3 reasons why you can make the bracha. At least 2 of them are kind of practical. He points out that there's an El Yarabah, that's one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch in the back, who seems to argue in the Pri Chadosh. He doesn't understand why, but he does seem to hold you can make a bracha on hiddur, even though he doesn't understand it. And the Rebbe Eger says, with these 3 reasons, very practical, mikamakam l'dina, nearly the dinina didan, yesh l'smoch l'varach. You can make a bracha, it's okay. Doesn't really explain why. Rebbe Eger does not give a real fundamental explanation for it. But for that, we turn to the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes, it's important to know, not just on Chumash, but nice Chesh HaTayris, the Sfas Emes is fantastic on Shas. One day, Mr. Hashem, you'll learn Kutchim. You'll Kutchim is Sephos, Sasamis is lights out. Fantastic. Very similar to the Brisker Torah. A little bit different language, but very, very classic Torah. Sasamis, Mesech the Shabbos, Yesh La'ayim, B'mahadrim, and Mahadrim. And he asks the case originally of the Pri Chadosh, Shemshakach, B'lel Gimel, V'hidlik Beis. He got the night wrong. His Nira, to Ko, Hiddur HaMitzvah, the Mahadrin, Imkein Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, Nami Hachihu. Gagamim Shakach Levarech, Meniskar Achar Shehidlik. Or in the Rick Yeager's case, where you in the middle, you remember you forgot to make a bracha. It says, E Hiddur, Eino Mitzvah Gemura. If you hold the Hiddur is not part of the actual Mitzvah, Ein Yachal Ol Levarech, of course you can't make a bracha, which is who's Shita, the Pri Chadosh. Achei Nira Lomar says the Sfas Emes. Devadai have a mitzvah gemura ha-hidur. The hidur mitzvah is part of the mitzvah itself. Teka hoya hatakana. Shahamahadrin yasu ha-mitzvah ba-ofen zeh. Again, it's a little bit confusing. On one end, again, the Sfas Emes also has to admit, I don't have any doubt. If you lit one candle and you said, Rebbe, not Rav, but Rebbe, was I Yotze the mitzvah? And you say, yeah, the basic mitzvah, you're Yotze, one candle. And yet the Sfasemis, like the Rahvan hundreds of years before him, can still say, Kachayo HaTakana. Meaning, Chazal integrated the Hiddur into the mitzvah itself. When you fulfill the Hiddur mitzvah, he's not talking about how much pressure you should feel to do it. Although that's obviously related. You should feel pressure to do it in light of this. But he says, when you fulfill Hiddur mitzvah, we look at it not as two kiyumim, the mitzvah and Hiddur, the cake and the cherry, but rather by doing the Hiddur, you have transformed and elevated and beautified the mitzvah itself. This is unique. And therefore, nafkemina lemaisa, im shokach levorech adayin habrocha shaychabe, a tremendous kiddush. He's agreeing in psach with the Ruki Vader, but he's giving a much more profound, ambitious, creative explanation, not just practical, oh, I could connect three shitas and give you a little bit of a... It's like, no, fundamentally, when you have lit two candles, but you didn't let the other three, you're still in part of the mitzvah itself. No, even the hiddur mitzvah is integrated because part of the mitzvah itself. Ulmahadrin kolaneros m'ikr, kiyom ha-mitzvah hain. Tremendous. Tremendous. And again, in its basic assumption, clearly not like that, Rabbi Kiva. And I mentioned to you quickly the other nafkaminas, and then we'll call it night. Kibbeger in number 4 has a variation of the theme, which is what if he himself had said, for practical reasons, maybe that's not the best choice of words, but technical reasons, I guess, is the better choice of words, you could fulfill the mitzvah if you forgot to light. But then he says, what if by the time you remember, you're a double shlamazel? Not only did you forget to make the bracha, but now when you're on candle number 4 and you remember, you quickly turn around and that tremendous turn of your body created a gale force wind and you blew out the first candle. So now the Ikar Mitzvah candle doesn't even exist anymore. Can you still make a bracha on the other three that you haven't lit yet? And there the Kibbeh Yoga says, I have to draw the line. Came in the kavsa of oz the mitzvah legamrei. Once the first candle, which was your ikar mitzvah, had blown out, then there's nothing left. Then, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, you're left with pure, unadulterated hiddur mitzvah, no connection to ikar mitzvah. That's the old machlokes. Hiddur mitzvah, can you make a bracha on it or not? And he's willing not to go that far. Savik bracha v'lohakeh, like the pre-chadash basically. However, I saw beautifully in two of the poskim of our generation, and it's a mitzvah davka tonight to mention one of them, because in the second sheet, one which is on the back page, the Lahoros Nosson was written by Rav Nosson Gishtetner, who just passed away this week. His funeral was just a few days ago. I don't believe he was not 80 when he passed away, I think he was 78. Rav Nosson Gishtetner was a great, great Talmud Chacham and Posek from Bnei Brak. He was Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak, and he was a prolific author. His Tshuva Sfarim called Lahoros Nosson, his Chidushim Sfarim called Nosson Kirio. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. The Shevet Alevi is Rav Wozner, as long as he's still alive and well, and as far as I know, way past 80, also in Bnei Brak. Both the Shevet Alevi and the Lahoros Nosson both discuss variations of this case, where the first candle blew out. And they both paskin, you can still make the bracha. But there's not even any ikar mitzvah to tag on to. They both say it doesn't matter. And the Shevet Alevi actually quotes to who? The Rabban. We should go to Bnei Brak and ask him, because I'm sure he knows who the Rabban is. The Shevet Alevi, look at the lashon of the Shevet Alevi, it's beautiful. Hari Shehem b'chalal chiv habracha. These extra candles are part of the mitzvah. V'imkein yachol gam levarach aleihem bifnei atzmah. Even when they're completely unconnected to the ikar mitzvah, it blew out. You can still make a bracha on them. V'dachot lomer the kol osam brak v'nusach. This is when the Ravon says that they're part of the nusach, that's why it's lahadlik. It would be very dope to say, well, that's just for hilchos brachos. V'lo be'etzem achiv habracha, but they are not connected to the basic mitzvah. Which is not, I agree, we didn't assume that. Clearly, when the Ravon is speaking about the level of brachas ha-mitzvah, he's saying it based on his understanding of what's even below that, which is the basic mitzvah. Glad to see the Shevet Levi agrees with that too. That's how we understood the Ravon Poshet. And says the Shevet Levi exactly. The Lahoros Nosson does not quote the Ravon, but he makes the same basic point. So that's, again, it's not identical to the original Shevet, to the original Rav Kiveger, Pre-Chadosh, and Sfas Emes. We had a new twist of the first candle blowing out. But once again, we see the phenomenon of at least according to some poskim, if not all, but some poskim, allowing things which they would never allow in Hilchos Lulav, in Hilchos Bris Milah, in Hilchos other things. Because Hilchos Mahadrin in Ner Chanukah is unique. And what does it mean it's unique? It's not stam an extra add-on. Add-ons are good, but it's not an add-on. It integrates in and it becomes part of the mitzvah itself, to the point you can even make a bracha on it independently. Yeah.
So Akiva Eger is not holding the same in both nafkaminas, according to the...
No, I tried to make the point before, that even though he agreed with the Sfasemis in Psak, he was not willing to commit to the lumdus of it. If anything, I would say he may agree with the lumdus of the other approach. Either way, he doesn't commit on that. He gives, again, kind of three... He adds up, he's mitzaref, which is a very common thing you see in Tshuva Svarim. He's not willing to say fundamentally yes or no, but he adds up a few... Say, we can mitzaref this, we can add this, we can add that, and that gets us over the hump of Suffolk Brachos Lachel. It's the Sfasemis who not only says the Psak, but goes even further with the ambitious explanation. Let's conclude with one last nachmanim. There's others, I can give you five more, but let's conclude with one last one, which is really shocking. The Rambam says in number 5 that mitzvah s'nachanak is chaviva ameod. It's a very special mitzvah. You know how special it is? Kind of put your money where your mouth is, says the Rambam. You have to spend money on Neres Chanukah. If I have no money, I'm poor. So usually we say an onus of mammon is also an onus. Just like I can't put on tefillin if I have a broken arm or chas v'shalom no arm, that's an onus. I have no money, that's also an onus. There are very few exceptions to that rule. Very few. Rambam says that Hilchos Chanukah is one of them. Someone who's poor has to collect tzedakah to have enough money to light candles. And if for whatever reason there's not enough money in the tzedakah box, he has to sell the shirt off his back, says the Rambam, ani afilu mocher es ksuso, to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. That's the Rambam. It's shocking, but it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch lahalach. It's in the Tafresh Ayin Aleph, Sif Aleph, Shulchan Aruch passes this way. Afilu ani am esparnes min hasadaka, shoel, he has to borrow, or mocher es ksuso, even sell the shirt off his back, to get money to buy candles, to buy oil. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you have the following guy. What was the Rambam and the Shulchan talking about? Let's say I have enough money to buy 8 candles. I just don't have enough money to buy 36 candles. Again, let's say I'm a single guy. I don't really work because I don't use that expenses. But now I have all these extra expenses. It's Hanukkah. I got a little extra money, I can buy 8 candles. I can fulfill the Ikar Mitzvah. But I don't have enough money. I'm pushing. I'm broke. I don't have enough money to fulfill the Ikar Mitzvah. About such a person, with the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say he has to still sell his clothing to fulfill Hiddur Mitzvah? Or when the Rambam says that Mitzvah Chanukah, Chaviv and Rambam Ho'od, you need to sell your shirt, you just went for the basic Mitzvah. We're not going to be crazy. Extremist. Shanabet. Flipped out. That we have to even do this for the Hiddur Mitzvah? What do you think? Not that I biased you enough, anyway. So it's a machlokas achronim. How to understand this Rambam? The Mishnah Berurah, both in the Mishnah Berurah itself and in the Bir Halacha, as I have here on the sheet, quotes an Achron named the Chemed Moshe. The Chemed Moshe says, you have to be kidding me. Of course, we're only talking about the 8 candles, the basic mitzvah. Ein srichen liten lo ki im nir echad l'kol echad l'ayla. Or to say it better, if I'm the Gabbai Tzedakah and the poor man comes to me, and he says, you're very poor and I got 17 kids, I say, yeah, and here's money for one candle. How much does he have to borrow? How much does he have to sell? How much do I have to give him this money? Enough for one candle. This whole idea of beyond what a person can afford, that's only for the basic mitzvah. But says the Bir Halacha, Yoter, but more than that, Tavi Mahajin, the Ein Chiyuv Litein Lo. We don't have to give him more than that, and he doesn't have to certainly have to sell a shirt off his back. We're talking about the Ikar Mitzvah. Now that makes all the sense in the world. However, the Or Sameach disagrees. It's a very short piece. I'll give you mamash the whole thing. It's not a long essay, it's like a two-line thing. Maybe less than 1.5. Says the Or Sameach, Perish, Gam l'hahidur v'tosefes. Here's a diuk in the Rambam to try to prove it. It's a good diuk, it's a bad diuk. We don't have time now. But L'maisa says the Or Sameach in Dvinsk, Gabbai Tzedakah had to open up his pushka. And if there was no Gabbai Tzedakah, there was no pushka, the Ani really had to sell the shirt. Not just for one candle a night, but for Hiddur Mitzvah. Now, how could we understand such a thing? It seems obscene. And the answer is, the only way you could understand such a thing is if you hold like what we've been saying until now. through the Sfas Emes and the Prima Gadim and the Shevet Levi and the Aros Nosson and going back to the Rabban. Namely, if you hold that the Mahadrin of Ner Chanukah is not something that's independent, but to paraphrase the Lashon of the Sfas Emes, Kach Tiknu Chazal. Chazal did not even have in mind, no, if you like cherries, add a cherry on top, makes it nice. Chazal were transforming the Ikar Mitzvah itself. The Hidur Mitzvah integrates into the Mitzvah itself. That doesn't mean you have to agree with Or Sameach. I still don't think I'd agree with it. But at least it's Shaykh. You could hear such a thing. Without this Chiddush, you can't even hear the Or Sameach. It doesn't make any sense. Where's he coming from? But at least with this, you could still argue, well, no, even though it's part of the Mitzvah, that's only when I fulfill it. That doesn't mean I have to sell my shirt to do that. That may be what the Mishnah Berurah says. Okay? So we saw this just to review quickly. A few nafkaminas, but it's all based on this idea. Is Mahadrin and Mahadrin regular old Hiddur Mitzvah with a few twists? Or do the twists indicate to us halachic detectives that there's really something else going on? And we saw many, many indications, at least according to many posts, not all, many posts, there's some very different going on here. You make a bracha, even if you forgot to make a bracha when you first lit. You make a bracha if you lit the wrong number of candles, perhaps. You make a bracha, you have all that happen, and the first candle blew out. You make a bracha, you have to sell your shirt, even if you don't have enough, even for Hiddur Mitzvah. And I want to close by pointing out just one thing to you. It's a ha'ara that I always had, and then years later I saw, it could be the others see this also, I don't know, but I finally saw, I was so happy, at least Rav Shach, that's also said in his Sefer Avi Ezri, he pointed out the following. It bothered me for years until I saw this. I mean, it's still the same Ha'arav, but at least now I feel better that Rav Shach made the point too. If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch, the end of number one, this is the Shulchan Aruch. You could, don't take my word for it. Look it up anywhere you want in the Shulchan Aruch. This is the only place that the Shulchan Aruch tells you what is the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. Top Reish Ayin Aleph, see Beis. And it says the Shulchan Aruch, Kama Neros Madlech. What would we expect the Shulchan Aruch to say after that? Well, the Ikar Mitzvah is one, and then the level two, and the level three. What is this? That's what the Gemara did. So the Rambam did. So that's the Shulchan Aruch. Kama Neros Madlik, Balayla HaRishon Madlik Aleph, Mekan Be'elich, Mosev HaHolech Aleph, every night of the thing. In other words, what did the Shulchan Aruch do? He completely left out level one. Forget level two. That's already a hitter. So you get, that's easy to explain theoretically. It was easier. But how can you leave out the basic mitzvah? If I didn't know better, if I was like a typical person who doesn't learn Gemara and just reads Mishnah Berurah, I would never even know from reading the Shulchan Aruch that there's a halacha on Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't exist in the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. It's astounding. So the only explanation I can give is al derech what we've been saying. And that is maybe, it may even be more extreme than the Or Sameach. In this, even though it's not practical, but it's by subtle suggestion, that in the Shulchan Aruch's mind, this idea of Hiddur Mitzvah has been so integrated that that's all that exists now. It's Kilu, it doesn't exist. I've got to say Kilu, because the bottom line is if you only lit one candle, and you hiked up to Tzfat, and you asked the Yosef Karo, was Ayotze, I assume you would say yes, despite the fact that it doesn't exist in the Shulchan Aruch. He'd say, who told you? But I guess he would say, okay, if you found out, then I guess you're Yotze. But again, it's so extreme, it's so striking. He never mentions the Ikar Mitzvah. He said there's an Ikar Mitzvah and then there's Hiddur Mitzvah. All he mentions is the Hiddur Mitzvah. And I think it's part of the same pattern. Hiddur Mitzvah and Chanukah is unique, it's different, it is integrated in, it becomes part and parcel, perhaps completely transforming the Mitzvah itself. Have a good night. Well, thanks to me. And I guess I'll see you when I'll see you.